Jumping in on Manx Radio
with Howard and Chris Kane.
Hello.
Good evening.
And welcome. And here we are once again, Saturday night on Manx Radio, 9 o'clock. That can only mean one thing. It is time for Jumping In, and it's going to the movies with myself, H.
And me, Chris. Yes, welcome to this special soundtrack edition of Jumping In, where we hope to take you via a short information feature, a cartoon, and an intermission for an unfeasibly large drink and an equally ginormous carton of popcorn to the main feature. Ah, those were the days, or perhaps they weren't, but who knows? One thing we do know is that jazz has always played a part in cinema as the soundtrack of popular films, either as the entire soundtrack or indeed jazz soloists featured in the scores. And for many music lovers, the soundtrack lives on long after the memories of the film that the music has supported has long been forgotten. So, what's been box office records have you dug out this week, H, or are they cult classics?
Haha, could be a bit of both. And no holes in the bottom of those tubs of popcorn, please. Yes, I think it's the only one done, or the only soundtrack done by the great John Coltrane. Ditto for one of my favourite artists, John Sermon. He's done lots of dance music, I think only one film as far as I'm aware, and a classic from a man who did several, to the best of my knowledge, the Duke himself.
And from me, we park in Pune, we radiate later, we put on our pumps, but first, roll credits. Here's Alfie.
We'll be right back. Thank you.
Sonny Rollins and Alfie's theme from the 1966 Paramount movie of the same name, featuring Michael Caine as the irrepressible womanizer who seduces, amongst others, Millicent Martin, Jane Asher and Shelley Winters. As he says, if you can make a married woman laugh, you're halfway there. Obviously, he wasn't married himself when he said that. When the soundtrack was recorded in Twickenham Studios, it had the cream of British jazz at the time. Sonny, Tubby Hayes, Ronnie Scott on saxes, Keith Christie on trombone, Stan Tracy on piano, Rick Laird on the bass and Phil Seaman on the drums. However, despite this record being well recognised as one of the best jazz soundtracks, there is no official soundtrack record, and Sonny recorded the entire album he wrote for the film at Rudy van der Gelder's studio a couple of months later on with an entirely different band, arranged by Oliver Nelson, with Sonny and Phil Woods on alto, Bob Oshton on the tenor, Danny Bank on baritone, trombonist J.J. Johnson and Jimmy Cleveland, Walter Booker on the bass, Frank Dunlop on the drums, Reggie Kelly at the piano, and the great Kenny Burrell Hurd soloing on that track. Worth the ticket price by itself, and still, to me, a classic today.
It is still a wonderful. I mean, yes, I lost count of the times I've played that album, and that track in particular, a really great one. Difficult to believe, it has to be said, that somewhere lurking in a cardboard box or a vault or the back of someone's
cupboard
will
be the British version. Yeah.
I cannot believe that it wasn't recorded, and even if they didn't keep it officially, that, as has often been the case, someone who was in the studio, one of the recording engineers or something like that, oh, I'll keep a copy of that, yeah, just whacked it somewhere, and it's just lurking, so it'd be fantastic if that ever did come to light.
Interesting to compare the two as well.
Yeah, too much, I must admit. It would be brilliant. Fingers crossed, you never know, do you? It is jumping in with Chris and myself, H. It's our movies, Gone to the Movies special, jazz soundtracks, of which there are many over the years, that one being, well, really a standout, I think, for me in many ways. We're going from a real standout one to one I can almost guarantee you'll have never have heard of by a man you have, Apartment 5C. I don't know how far this film went. It was very much a French film. It was a film by Raphael Nadjari, with the music by John Sermon. As far as I'm aware, it's the only film soundtrack that John has ever provided. He's done plenty of work with ballet, with Carolyn Carlson and such like in Paris, working with dance and a bit of theatre and ballet in particular. But I don't think he's done more than one film soundtrack. If he has, I certainly haven't seen it or been aware of them being released as an album, as this one was. It has been knocking around. You can probably still get downloads. I spotted it ages ago. I can tell you where, in foils, because I see it's still got the sticker on. £6 in foils. Good value. Apartment 5C. It is all John Sermon, as is the case quite often. So it's him doing electronics, keyboards and sax as well. The film itself, I've never seen it. I can tell you roughly what it is about. No, I tell you what, let's hear the music first and see if you can guess. It might be easier said than done. This is right at the beginning, so this is through the opening credits and then into a track entitled Running Away. Thank you. There we go. Very recognisably John Sermon. As you might well imagine, because it's just John Sermon on it. No one else, reminiscent again of a lot of his early sort of 70s and 80s and indeed 90s ECM albums, with him providing sort of ostinato and keyboards and EMS, Cynthia, whatever it would be back in the day. 2002, that was, the film soundtrack to Apartment 5C, and film at the Raffaella Nadiari, or Nadiari. And it concerns, if you haven't guessed already, and well done if you did, with titles like Running Away, Nikki Shoots Herself, Saving Nikki, and Nikki on the Stairs, as is the picture on the cover of the album itself. It's about a young couple, two young Israelis, who arrive in New York, Nikki and Yuri, but as soon as they're there, they're penniless and survive by shoplifting, and after getting into scrapes, they leave Manhattan and end up in a seedy apartment in Brooklyn. And one assumes the apartment is Apartment 5C.
May not be, of course. Might be the one they couldn't afford to stay in.
Well, you never know.
I did used to, actually, talking about soundtracks like that, it put me in mind, he did used to play a Mini Moog, because I actually bid on it on eBay. It said John Sermon's Mini Moog, some knobs missing, sellotape and screws have been attached to operate them. But I did bid him, didn't get it. But next for me, a feature which I did get, which was Miles Davis debuting as an actor back in 1990. Playing, in a way, types of styles that he'd forged some 40 years earlier before moving into his fusion and very modern, looking forward sounds. Dingo stars Davis as Billy Cross, who in this scene he steps out of a 747 TNT cargo plane and sets up the band for an impromptu tune on the dusty landing strip of Poona Flat in the Australian outback. A young boy, Dingo Anderson, is entranced by the music, and Miles says to him, "If you ever come to Paris, look me up." Which is exactly where Michel Legrand was when he got the call from the man with the horn saying, "Michel," said Miles, "I have to write a film score and I want you to do it with me." Well, when Miles calls, says Legrand, "You take the first plane. Here's Concert on the Runway."
I've been to a lot of interesting places, but I don't think I've ever had the pleasure of visiting Poona Flat. My name's Billy Cross, if you don't mind. We'd like to play something for you. We'll be right back.
Concert on the Runway, Miles Davis and Michel Legrand, some 32 years after Le Grand Jazz, when the two had collaborated previously, the score for Dingo, which was written with Miles in mind. Legrand says, "I saw Miles just last July when he came to France to receive the Légion d'honneur. He called me and said, 'Michael, you've got to come and hold my hand.' And we talked about doing another recording session together. In fact, we'd started to work on it. He seemed so absolutely normal, fine and happy. Then all of a sudden, just weeks later, I hear the sad news. But I'm happy that everyone can see and hear the film in his last triumph. Miles died in 1991.
Yes, it's. I can remember. I actually remember where I was when I heard the news, thinking, "What? Miles has died? Lordy, 1991, which is terrifying, which makes it more years ago than I care to remember. As in 30, and thinking, "Oh no, can't be right. Cannot be right. My word." We're going back fair way for this one as well. September 1961. Which is when Paris Blues came out. So you just mentioned Paris there, and another great reason for playing this soundtrack, because it also stars the great Sidney Poitier, who died only a week or so back. And he was very much featured in Paris Blues, directed by Martin Ritt. Great lineup as well. Joanne Woodward, Paul Newman, Sidney Poitier, Louis Armstrong was in it. And I think the music by Duke Ellington. I think you might recognise this one. Lovely stuff. Mood Indigo, of course, from the soundtrack to the film Paris Blues. Featured Louis Armstrong actually acting in it. I think Duke was in there as well, if memory serves correct, at least briefly playing the piano. Starring Sidney Poitier as well and Paul Newman. Not a bad lineup, eh? Two American jazz musicians are content exploring Paris as it allows them to grow as artists, they fall in love with two beautiful American tourists, and then they have to make the decision between the music and the love. Ah, yes, they don't make them like that anymore. Well, they probably do, but not with the sort of soundtrack you might get from Duke Ellington, I dare say. I was going to play, when we had this idea of the soundtrack, I thought, oh, I'll go and play Anatomy of a Murder. That's a great one, which is a great cover on the album as well. Convinced I had it. If I have got it, Lord knows where I filed it, because I can't see it on vinyl, more to the point, I can't see it on CD. I thought about downloading it, but it's actually still quite expensive for downloading as well. But I'd rather, if I was going to download it, I may as well get the album, I think, at some stage, because it is a classic and good music, as pretty much, you know, any Duke Ellington album. I don't know whether he did any bummers. Some might have been better than others, but frankly, you're not going to waste your money buying Duke Ellington any time.
No, most popular jazz composer, if you look at most published jazz composer as well, and therefore probably the most recorded jazz composer. We both were discussing the number of soundtracks that we thought we had, but can't find. They're obviously on some format somewhere, but couldn't lay our hands on them for this show. And I was thinking, actually, you could play Blazing Saddles, that wonderful bit where the sheriff's riding through the desert and he hears this big band playing and he comes around the corner and there's Count Basie and the full orchestra sitting in the middle of the desert for no apparent reason. Next, from me, from Alan Rudolph's film Afterglow, which starred Julie Christie and Nick Nolte. Multi-instrumentalist and composer Mark Isham had worked on scores for Rudolph before, and he said the film Afterglow actually started with the music for Blue Sun, which, if you haven't heard it, you should go and buy it. Isham's a brilliant 1995 reflection on Miles's Kind of Blue. Alan wrote the script with the music playing in the background. He originally intended to use it for the soundtrack, but there were a few tones in the album that didn't really cover, so the music for Afterglow started to find its own level. And when Alan started shooting, I started writing more music. Here's the title track.
Thank you.
Afterglow from Mark Isham's score for the film of the same name. I've never actually seen the film, but it absolutely stands up as an album by itself. And what a great band he put together for the recording. Jerry Allen on the piano, not on that track, but Gary Burton features on a number of the tracks. Violinist Sid Page, who was Symphony Sid Page with Dan Hicks and his Hot Licks back in the 70s, if you remember that. Charles Lloyd on sax, Jeff Hamilton on the bass, and the legendary Billy Higgins on the drums. And of course, Mike Isham himself on the trumpet.
Marvellous stuff indeed, and what a lineup. What a lineup of that, isn't it? I wouldn't have recognised Billy Higgins there. You think he from the Sidewinder with Lee Morgan and such like. Terrific stuff, but really lovely laid-back sound. And as you say, anything with Mark Isham on, he's made himself a very wealthy man doing film soundtracks, but I think he still does like to get out and play in jazz clubs when he can. I suppose he can afford to these days. Doesn't have to worry about the bill. Jumping in, Chris and myself, H, it's our soundtrack special. We've gone to the movies with jazz in mind, of course. We haven't totally lost our plot altogether. And here's a man who, again, you might not associate with jazz soundtracks, but he did do one, the great John Coltrane. And this is going back to Canadian filmmaker Gilles Griot's breakthrough movie Le Chat dans la Serre, which I think, even with my very rusty little French, is The Cat in the Bag. It depicts two young lovers navigating their relationship in 1964 Montreal and opens with a startling musical cue. Barbara and Claude, the two primary characters, have just introduced themselves directly to camera. They embrace in slow motion as the film's title appears, and just as they separate, the music of John Coltrane kicks in at top volume, playing Naïma, the wistful ballad, the saxophonist named for his first wife. First heard on his Giant Steps album, of course, 5 years earlier. By 64, Coltrane, leading a massive jazz figure, realistically, pretty much on his peak and very well known among jazz enthusiasts, but his music hadn't really got out to find universal adoration, nor was it sort of free of the controversy that it sparked at the time, as some of his weird sounds and his sort of freedom and the way he was playing the sax, which went on to be so influential for pretty much every tenor sax man and woman afterwards. But yeah, a lot of his music featured on the film, most of it in its entirety. We're going to hear one which for this album was entitled A Blue World, but was actually a retake of Out of This World, a contract of the Harold Arlen original. Here it is with the classic John Coltrane quartet. Thank you.
Hi, everybody. I'm Nick Bertsch, composer, pianist, producer from Zurich, Switzerland. Looking very much forward to be on your radio for jumping in on Manx Radio. And you might hear some of my music. Thanks a lot, Howard and Chris. This comes directly from the Zenfunk main station.
Very distinctive sound, that one, I think. Henri Texier with the soundtrack to the 2004 drama Holy Lola, which was all about a rural doctor enduring hardships while trying to adopt a baby in Cambodia, a film by Bertrand Tavernier, with wonderful music there, very well suited to Henri, I think, those sounds. He's so good at sort of capturing the essence of a country in music, as he did with his travels across Africa. And before that, The Cat in the Bag, the only film, as far as I'm aware at least, that the great John Coltrane provided a soundtrack to with his classic quartet, with, of course, Jimmy Garrison, Elvin Jones, McCoy Tyner at the piano.
Well, we've just about scratched the surface as the curtain finally falls. We make our way back to the car park, picking up all our rubbish as we leave, of course. But that's about it for this week's special soundtrack edition. We've got plenty more of those. Probably you have too. Send your suggestions in to Chris at Manx Radio or Howard Kane at manxradio.com.
That's the one. Don't forget to put that E on the cane.
An E on the cane. Thank you very much. Please take your cartons as you leave, as I say, but we'll leave you with James Horner's haunting theme for the 1992 thriller Sneakers, which also had Sidney Poitier in it, Robert Redford, Ben Kingsley, River Phoenix, Dan Aykroyd and David Strathairn. But the thing that interests us, of course, is the guest soloist on the score on soprano sax throughout, Branford Marsalis. See you next week.
Be good.
Bye for now.